Welcome everybody to the last great day, or the eighth day. Special welcome to everybody around the world, and in particular those that are at home at the moment, worshipping God, celebrating this very feast day, the last great day. The purpose of this sermon is to cover the meaning and purpose of the last great day. This last great day is also known as the Day of Judgment. It is also called the Eighth Day, or the Great White Throne Judgment. The title of today's sermon is To Heal Minds. We'll start by looking at Leviticus 23, verse 33. Leviticus 23, verse 33. The reason we are here is to worship God. This is a commanded assembly. We're also here for a reason, which is to come to know why God has established this last day, this eighth day, which lasts 100 years. This day is actually one of the greatest signs of God's mercy. If we fully understand what God is doing, if we understand God's plan of salvation for mankind, this day stands out as one of the greatest acts of mercy of the eternal God, because this is the day that God is going to work with people to heal their minds. Because for 6,000 years, they've not had that opportunity. A very few have had that opportunity. 144,000 plus others have had that opportunity to begin the process of having their minds healed. The natural carnal mind doesn't think it needs healing. It thinks it's already healed. It's okay. But the reality is, God must open the mind by the power of His Holy Spirit so it can see that every mind needs to be healed. It was created a particular way. It was created with the purpose of being healed. It needs to be healed. It needs to change from one way of thinking naturally to think like God, which is to have a mind healed. Verse 33. Then the Eternal spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Eternal, which we have worshipped God in this period. We've come before Him to worship Him, to understand what He has for us, His plan of salvation, all for the purpose of healing our minds, because our minds are being healed at this moment. It's a process that takes a lifetime to heal one's mind. Verse 35. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation, which we have kept. You shall do no customary work on it. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Eternal. Now, we understand that there are offerings given on each high day, and we during this period have sacrificed ourselves, sacrificed our desires during these last 7 days for the purpose of worshipping God and serving our fellow brethren, serving others, sacrificing self. On the eighth day, which is today, which reflects a particular time period of 100 years, you shall have a holy convocation. That's why we are here. It's a commanded assembly. These are God's feasts. This is God's appointed time. It's an appointment to come before God to understand what God has for mankind. It's an incredible act of mercy that God will in the future reveal to mankind. We are so blessed now that we see this great act of mercy. We're here to come to understand it more. And you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Eternal. This is a day that we would give an offering to God, with the understanding that we have that it's not about the amount, but it's about the intent. It's the motivation of the heart. It's our inner thinking, why we do what we do. Well, if we understand God's plan of salvation for mankind, if we understand God's plan of salvation for us, we would give with a willing spirit, because there is nothing more important on this earth at this time than keeping this holy day and supporting God's work, being involved with what God is doing, because it is God's work and God funds His work a particular way. Well, we have been so blessed to have been called at this time to be a support of what God is doing. Well, how merciful is that? Millions of people haven't had that opportunity, but we do. And we're here today to come to understand more about this last great day, this eighth day. It is a sacred or a solemn assembly, and you shall do no customary work on it. Verse 37. These are the feasts of the Eternal, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire to the Eternal, a burnt offering and a grain offering and a sacrifice and drink offering everything on its day. Besides the Sabbaths of the Eternal, besides your gifts, besides your vows, and besides all your freewill offerings, you shall give to the Eternal. After the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ and the 144,000, we will enter this last 100 years. God's purpose for this final 100 years is to provide mankind with the potential to have their minds healed, the transformation of their minds. Now, this 100-year period is such a great time. It's an incredible time for mankind because mankind has not known God's plan of salvation. Now, during the 1,000 years, God's plan of salvation will be taught. And because of this teaching and this understanding, there are going to be millions, if not billions, that are going to be alive that live into this last 100 years because they will have been working for this last 1,000 years to get ready for what is the great resurrection. One point to remember is that at death, during the last 7,000 years, the spirit of man, with its full content, which means its thinking, its purpose and intent, all that is contained in its thinking, has been stored by God. The spirit in man has no life in itself because it has to have life from God. God must give it. So it's like a recording. God is the author of life and death, and he alone has power over it. Man does not have the power over life and death. God does. Let's look at Hebrews 9, verse 27 to 28. Hebrews 9, verse 27 to 28. Verse 27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment, which is referring to this eighth day or the second resurrection to physical life again. So after death, there is a judgment, verse 28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Now, this is really referring to the fact that we have the opportunity now that our sins can be forgiven. But Christ just didn't die for us. God had a plan of salvation for all of mankind. We see that the beginning of this plan of salvation has started with a few during the first 4,000 years of mankind. Then during the last 2,000 years, we come to this 6,000-year period where God has actually saved 144,000 to return with Jesus Christ to this earth. And at some point, they will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is on the day of Pentecost in 2019. Well, we also understand that during the 1,000 years, those that are blessed to live into that period and those that are born during that period will have a focus which will be God first. And all the things of Satan will be removed and the education system will begin and it will take time. And then we come to the end of a 1,000-year period. There will be millions of people that have actually died. Some will have died and will enter Elohim at a resurrection, which is at the time of the second resurrection, will be changed to spirit. But at that time, there'll also be a lot of people that will be brought up in the second resurrection and given this opportunity for a period of judgment. And that period of judgment lasts 100 years. They will now be in a world that is prepared, and it is such a different time to the 6,000 years of mankind, and it is a totally different time to the 1,000 years, because this 100-year period is special. It is a great opportunity for all of mankind that are resurrected at that time to have their minds healed and to have their minds changed so that they too can enter Elohim just like the 144,000. Now, Christ has died for all mankind, and yes, we eagerly await for him that he will appear a second time on the day of Pentecost. We know that there is an appearance or a manifestation of the appearance 50 days before the day of Pentecost. Then he will appear a second time and he will actually return to this earth. And he will come for the purpose of repentance, where mankind will be given that opportunity to repent during the 1,000 years. Now, this huge period of salvation that is offered to mankind, this huge period of repentance, and it's all based on the fact that God, and only God can do it, will give life to humans because the spirit in man has been stored for over 7,000 years from the time of Adam all the way through to this very end period. The spirit in man has returned to God, and God knows whether or not it will be resurrected in the second resurrection, or it will be resurrected at the end of the 100 years for a judgment, for the reward of a judgment, which is the second death. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 8. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 8. Solomon here. No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Man does not have this power. Only God can hold on to the spirit in man. So no one, no physical human, has power over the spirit in man, to retain it. We can't hang on to it. If God decides that a person's life is going to be taken, or if they're going to die, and the spirit of man will return and will be stored. And no one has power in the day of death. We can't control it. Once a person dies in that day of death, the spirit in man returns to God. There's nothing anyone can do. They have no control over that spirit. It's in God's authority. It's in God's power. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was. We were made from dust. Mankind comes from the dust. As we understand, God used the dust of the ground and gave it life in the fact that it was given life through Adam. Adam was the first. And then we see Eve. And Eve came from Adam, from that same dust. Well, the dust, as we are, life is gone. It will return to the earth. It goes back to dust. But the spirit in man, and it says here, continue on in verse 7, and the spirit in man will return to God, Yahweh Elohim, who gave it. So God gives life and God takes it. The spirit in man has no life in itself, but it will have life again because God's going to give it life in this period during this second resurrection, this great resurrection. Let's look at this eighth day. Let's look at this last great day. Ezekiel 37 verse 1. Ezekiel 37 verse 1. Ezekiel 37 verse 1. There's so much about this day that we don't understand. We have a very dim view of this particular period, and we don't really understand all the ramifications of it. We understand aspects. We understand that there are a group of people, which is the vast majority of mankind, that have died during a 6,000-year period. We understand that during the 1,000 years, that many will die in that period, but many will live also, and they will live into this last 100 years. So at the point of this great resurrection, this great act of mercy of God, where God will give life, he will resurrect back mankind, it doesn't matter where they died, they'll be resurrected back into a physical body, same appearance as they had before, and they will be given the spirit in man. Now, the difference is that if they were really old, they're going to be in their early 30s, possibly. And other people that are younger, babies, will be babies. And they will have to grow through that period of 100 years, which we'll see that in Scripture. Now, this particular day, there are going to be millions, if not billions, of people alive on this earth to witness this actual event, which is the great resurrection, which is why we're here today. We're here to celebrate this day, knowing that God in his mercy is going to give life back to mankind, all those that have died over that period of 7,000 years. Some will be given life in Elohim, as far as those from the 1,000-year period. There is going to be a lot of people that are going to be resurrected as well, back into a period of final judgment. This is the time that God will show his great act of mercy. And how is it demonstrated? Well, firstly, it's their first opportunity to come to see God. It's their first opportunity to come to know God. Now, the difficulty is within mankind is that he has a natural mind. He has the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Well, that will still exist within this period, this last 100 years. The big difference, or the big advantage, there's two of them in main. The first one is the fact that it's a new world, it's a better world, it's a different world, because it doesn't have Satan and all the influences that are in the world, and all of the garbage and all that, that's all gone. There's going to be one religion, one education system, one church. That alone will change everything. But the big advantage now for all of those people that have died and now are given this life in the beginning of this 100-year period is the fact that they're resurrected back and they're going to know that there's difference in them. They're going to look in the mirror and go, hang on a minute, I was 80 or I was 70 or I was 60. Or they're going to come back and say, I remember the day I died. I remember what happened to me. And things are different. It's a whole new world. The animals are different. People are different. The world is beautiful. The weather is completely different. Everything is different. That in itself is going to cause great humility. But the danger for all of them still is the fact that they still have to fight themselves. They still have to have their minds healed. And the natural carnal mind, often by itself, doesn't think it needs healing. So the big difference now is not only this resurrection back to physical life, is the fact that God will open their minds for the first time. Not all, because there are going to be some that have had their minds open and it's been closed again because they lost God's spirit because of decisions that they made or choices they made. Well, now, how much more humble are they going to be? Because once God pours out his spirit and they begin to see and begin to consider it, knowing that this is a matter of life or death, the same as what we face, a matter of life and death. They're going to see it. And the big advantage for them is that God will pour out his spirit and they will have this great opportunity to see for the very first time. There's going to be billions of people that are going to have the first love. That first love, they're going to have it, which is when they couldn't see before, they didn't have the first love. They couldn't because they never had God's spirit. But with God's spirit, I've had the first love. Many of you have had that first love. Well, they're going to have it, which is that zeal and excitement for God. It's going to be an amazing time this day. The day, this 100-year period where God is going to resurrect them at the beginning and place his spirit in them and they're going to see. And then they're going to have to make the same choices we have to make. We have to fight the lust of the flesh. Those desires, those carnal desires of selfishness. The lust of the eyes, desiring things that we see. We see not only spiritually, we see physically. And the pride of life, a huge issue in all humans, the pride of life. Nobody likes to be wrong. Nobody likes to be told they're wrong. Well, they're going to be told they're wrong. They're going to see that they're wrong. Well, they're going to have to fight themselves and justification. Yeah, but I. Can you imagine the kings and all of those that have lived in royalty, who have had servants and all sorts of things going on, to be told, well, we're all equal here, and the purpose of life is not about this physical authority. The purpose of life is to heal the mind, have our minds healed so that we can enter Elohim. And all the things that you did, all the things that people have done, all of the adultery, all of the murder, all of the hate, all of the rebellion against God, all the Sunday worship, all of that's going to go. But people will still remember they did those things and they're going to have to learn to repent. Powered by God's Holy Spirit, they'll be given the opportunity through God's great act of mercy during this period that they can repent and they can change and have their minds healed so that at a point in time, at the end of the 100 years, they too can enter Elohim. What an incredible plan. Imagine if mankind knew this now and if they actually believed it, not only knew it, but believed it. What a change that would take place within mankind thinking right now. Well, it's been hidden from them for a purpose. And when they are resurrected during this second resurrection where billions of people are given life and the spirit of man is placed back in them and they have their consciousness and they have a different body that is healed without ailments, without arms missing, without all the diseases and the sickness of the mind that is out there now through chemical imbalances, when that's all gone and changed and people are actually healed and bodies are healed and they know it, then they have God's Holy Spirit, humility will kick in. And they then will begin this road of salvation. They'll be placed on this path and it lasts for 100 years. How merciful is God to give mankind this opportunity? Ezekiel 37 verse 1. And the hand of the Eternal came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley, which is a dry valley, and it was full of bones. Now this is symbolic. It's not just one valley where there's all the bones all piled up, but it's symbolic. And here it is that he's seeing something. Ezekiel is seeing something. It's about the future. And it is symbolic because mankind has died all over the world. The whole world is full of dry bones. There's dead bones everywhere. Now, this is referring to one particular case, and it's given an example of a symbolic language that is often used to point to something. It's pointing to a resurrection and God's great mercy towards mankind. Verse 2. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, and there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. Had been there a long time, which is pointing to. This is the fact that mankind for 6,000 years has been death, and for the last 1,000 years before this period, there has been death. So 7,000 years of death, and the bones are very dry. So it toes back to a long period of time. Verse 3, and he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Which is the question. Now, most people would say, well, no, they're dead, they're in heaven or they're in hell. One of those two things. So I answered, O Lord God, you know, because God has the power of life and death. He knows all things. He's in control of all things. Again, he said to me, prophesy, which is to tell, to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the eternal. Now, this is a key point here. Hear the word of the eternal, because this is in God's power. Only God can open the mind. Only God can give life. Only God can give spirit life. And it all goes with this hearing, as the new book, Prophecy Against the Nation, says, if they will listen, if they will hear. Well, here it is, God is saying to the dry bones, which is all of the people that have died during the last 6,000 years of mankind and some in the 7,000 year period, that they will have this opportunity to hear God for the very first time. Thus says the eternal God to these bones, surely I, it's Yahweh Elohim speaking, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. So they're going to live, they're going to be given mortal life once again with the same mind. The spirit in man that has returned to God is going to be given back to them. And this is what God will do. He'll give them life and put the spirit of man in them. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, give life. And you shall live, physically live. Then you shall know that I am the eternal. This is an incredible scripture. At this point in time, because they have been resurrected and given life, there is no doubt that they've been given life. No doubt whatsoever. Resurrected back to a physical life. Well, if you look at the average person around the world, in all the different periods of time, you know, the time of Babel and the Tower of Babel, the time of the flood, time of Sodom and Gomorrah, all of those different periods, they knew the last thing that was on their mind was the fact that I'm going to die. All of the men during the campaigns of the First World War and the Second World War, when they were charging towards cannons and gunfire and machine guns, and they knew they were going to die. Now they're going to be resurrected and things are different. They've got a different body. They're not in their army uniform anymore. They're no longer wearing their robes or apparel that they had on. Things are different. They're a different age. They feel different. The difficulties that they had in life, for example, you know, the eye that was missing or whatever was wrong or the aches and pains, they're all gone. So they will then know, how can this be? Am I in heaven? Where am I? Well, then they will know that God did it. They'll be told, this is God, Yahweh Elohim, the one true God of the universe. He has done it. And through the power of God's Holy Spirit, when he opens their mind to see it, then they will know that God did it. That there's no doubt that there's one true God and he is almighty. Verse 7. So I, Ezekiel, prophesied as I was commanded, which is being obedient to God. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling. Now this, remember, this is symbolic. This is not about exactly how it's going to happen. The fact that all the bones are going to shake and come out of the ground. And the bones came together, bone to bone, which is pointing to the fact that life is going to be given back to them. Indeed, as I looked, and sinews and flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. So there's no life yet, there's no spirit in man in them. They're just laying there, in the sense of being physical, from the dust of the earth. They just haven't had life given to them yet. Then he said to me, God speaking to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, which is referring to the breath of life, Thus says the eternal God, Yahweh Elohim, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. Verse 10, so I prophesied, and he commanded me, and the breath of life, came into them, and they lived for the second time, because it was appointed unto man to die once, and then the judgment. Well, we're now in this day of judgment. They now have this opportunity to live for 100 years and learn to obey God. Learn to control the natural carnal mind. Learn to control the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. All of these different things. They're going to have to work on it just like we have to. They're going to have to fight. It's going to be easier, but they're still going to have to fight because justification, pride, and selfishness will exist in them. Yes, it will be easier, but it's still going to be a battle. They're still going to have tests and trials in life. Life will be so much easier. Things are going to be a lot better. But everybody will still have tests and trials because that's how we grow. We don't grow by becoming Laodicea. No, we grow because of difficulties, because of our natural mind that we see and because of things we say and do and things that happen and, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Well, they're going to go through the same thing. Going to be easier, but still difficult. And they lived and stood upon their feet an exceedingly great army. We're talking about billions of people all over the world that have died. Now, exactly where they're resurrected, in what order they're resurrected and how and all of that, well, they're things we don't know. We will know at some point on the day that it happens. Prior to that, we might have some knowledge, but exactly whether or not we're going to know every little detail, probably not. We're probably going to have to wait on God. But God, in his mercy, he knows what's best for mankind. And there's been this great preparation that has taken place for 1,000 years. And there are billions of people, millions of billions of people, that have come through that last period of the 1,000 years. They will live into this 100-year period. Well, they're going to be there to help and guide. And it's going to be a wonderful, exciting time. Can you imagine just being there as a spirit being or just being there physically? It's going to be an enormous day. It's going to be a wonderful time period. Verse 11. Then he, Yahweh Elohim, said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. So it's symbolically pointing to all of mankind, but also spiritual Israel, because there's an aspect of spiritual Israel that has gone to sleep. They will then be resurrected during this period and given this opportunity. Those that haven't committed the unpardonable sin will be given this opportunity during this 100-year period. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. This is the humility I was referring to before. Because for anybody to say, our hope is lost, because it was lost. Without this resurrection, there is no hope. And we ourselves are cut off, because they were cut off. Now they see themselves what they were. Now they see the mercy of God and they see the opportunity. It's like an awakening. To be able to see that opportunity, to have been called the first time to go to sleep, is like what's happened here. People were awake in the sense of having life. Then they went to sleep. They died. Well, now they've been resurrected. They're given life back again. It's the same type of thing. They're awakened. Now they're truly awakened on a spiritual level, not just physically, spiritually, where they actually get their calling for the very first time, which is an awakening. They wake up and go, oh, look at all this past. Look at all the things I did. Now it's time to change and the world will be so different that they will be given an opportunity and encouragement and the education system that they will be able to have their minds healed much easier than currently. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the eternal God, behold my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Now, we look at this on a spiritual level. They will now be given the first opportunity, the majority, because some will have had that opportunity previously and by neglect or choices they made, this is actually a second opportunity for them. The vast majority, the billions that have lived, will be given the first opportunity to be part of spiritual Israel. They will come into the land of Israel. They'll come into the church. They'll be given the opportunity to see spiritually, to go through the process of repentance, to desire baptism, to desire the power of God's Holy Spirit, to desire to be part of a church, to learn to love. Because it is an education system, we have to learn to love. We have to choose to love. We have to choose to love God. Now, keeping the feast, keeping this eighth day, was a personal choice. We didn't have to. It's a personal choice. Well, they're going to have to go through the whole process. They're going to have to start with Passover. They're going to have to start with the Sabbath. They're going to have to learn these things. Ah, I have to now come to understand about the purpose of the seventh day Sabbath. What's it really all about? It's actually all spiritual, not just physical. It's all spiritual, because without the Sabbath, something that God has made for mankind, there's no spiritual growth. If we break the Sabbath, we're cut off from the flow of God's Holy Spirit. We have to come to understand Passover. People are going to have to learn to see Passover, the death of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that God made and Jesus Christ made, the act of mercy that he demonstrated there. He's lived the mercy already by providing a sacrifice for sin. They will see all these things. So this is an exciting time, and the first love will kick in to their minds, and they will have great zeal. Now, the challenge for them is the fact that 100 years is a long period of time, and the challenge will be to stay zealous, no different than it is now, to stay zealous for the whole period of time. It's going to be easier because the temptations won't be there, but they still have a natural mind they have to overcome, and they still have to have their minds healed, which is the purpose of the last great day. The purpose of the last 100 years is to have mankind's mind healed so that it can enter Elohim and be part of the family of God. Verse 13. Then you shall know that I am the Eternal when I open your graves. This is how they begin to see it. They know they have died. Now they're alive in a different body with no ailments, no illnesses, nothing at all, with a mind that now can see spiritually. This is going to be an incredible time. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, which is about having life again. Verse 14, the key to it all, because really the 100 years is a great act of mercy, but without the scripture being realized, in other words, being fulfilled, it's only just another 100 years of physical life. The key to all of this, I will put my spirit in you, which is the ability to understand and see spiritual matters. This is what's happened to us through a calling. It's going to happen during the 1,000 years. But during this 100 years, God says, I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, not just physically, but spiritually. Spiritually alive. And I will place you in your own land. Now, what that actually means, we're not fully aware of at the moment. But being in our own land in the sense of being part of the body of Christ, the church of God, is a wonderful blessing. Then you shall know that I, the Eternal, have spoken it and performed it, says the Eternal. They, during this period, will read this scripture. They will read Ezekiel 37, 1 to 14. They're going to read it, and they're going to understand it. They're going to see it first time in their life. God's great mercy. I was once dead, now I'm alive. God's now put his spirit in me. Now I've been placed in a location. I'm part of the body of Christ. I now can have my mind healed. And God did it all. God spoke it thousands of years ago, and now he's performed it, and I'm part of it. No different than us today, where we can see we're part of a body, we're part of a great work that is ahead of us. To be part of it, how exciting. For them, exactly the same excitement. They're going to see God spoke it, now God's performed it to me, it's happened to me. I'm actually alive and have this opportunity to have my mind healed. I now see my selfishness. Well, they're going to see it because God is going to do it. And God has spoken it and God will perform it. This eighth day, this last day, this day of judgment will happen. And it will happen at the end of 7,000 years of mankind. And it will last 100 years. And mankind now has the choice to overcome self, to have its mind healed. Revelation 20, verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. I was just thinking then as I was turning to the scripture that sometimes I speak too quickly and get excited. But how could you not get excited about the last great day, the great white throne, the eighth day. How could you not get excited? Because it's for all of mankind to have this opportunity. Now, that's called justification of speaking quickly, but that is the truth. You just get excited because this is a marvelous day. This is an enormous day where God, in his great mercy, will give mankind the opportunity to have their minds healed. The meaning and purpose of this last great day is so powerful. The meaning of it, well, what does it really mean? It means a period of judgment for mankind. It means that mankind's going to have to make decisions based on what he knows. And God is going to reveal to mankind the truth. Because at the moment, he is deceived and he doesn't understand, because God had a plan where mankind would be left to himself. And God's plan was always to give mankind an opportunity to enter Elohim. Well, the purpose of this day is for the fact that mankind can have their minds healed. So that's what it's all about. This last great day is an act of God's great mercy towards mankind. And God made mankind for the purpose of having them enter into his family. Well, this day is the key day of all of the feast days, really, because in the end, this is the day where mankind has to place himself under judgment. He's going to have to judge himself. Now, if he doesn't judge himself, he will be judged. He will be judged. Let's have a look at Revelation 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne. Now, remembering, this is all, again, talking about symbolic language. And a lot of this is about visions. And here we see the Apostle John having a vision where he sees things and he describes it from what he sees. But it has symbolic meaning because we understand that the great white throne is a period of judgment. That's where judgment comes from. And we know it's the eighth day, or the day of judgment, as Jesus Christ mentions. Verse 11, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, and this is referring back to what we just read in Ezekiel 37, small and great. So it didn't matter whether they were important or unimportant in the world's eyes. It makes no difference. It's everybody standing before God. So they stand now because they've been given life. They stand in this period of judgment of 100 years. And the books were opened, and another book was opened. So now they have the opportunity to see spiritually, because the Bible now comes alive to them, because God has poured out his Holy Spirit. I will place my spirit in them. They are back to a physical life. They have the spirit of man. Now God has placed his spirit in them. They now can see. These books are open, which is the book of life. And the dead are judged according to their works, according to their actions, according to their choices over this 100-year period. Now they have this opportunity. They remember the things they did, but it's not held against them. They committed a sin and they didn't repent because they weren't given the opportunity. Well, they now are brought back into this judgment from the day of their resurrection to a second life. They now are placed under judgment. They now can choose to obey God or they don't. It's their choice. So they're now judged during this 100-year period. The past is the past because it's forgotten and gotten rid of. You don't have to go back and regurgitate it. They're brought back up. They're in a state of repentance, and now they are judging themselves, so they're not going to have to be judged by God. So they were judged according to their works during this 100-year period, the choices that they make, by the things which are written in the books. Now it's according to God's word, not man's judgment, God's judgment. What God says in his word a person should do, how they should love somebody in spirit and truth, not just a physical filial love, but agape, God's spirit in them. So they're now having to judge themselves and live the truth. They have to live according to the words of God, live according to what God's government is teaching, living according to what the church is teaching them. And now they have this opportunity to implement it into their life, to implement it into their families, to implement it according to loving God and loving one another. And they're judged accordingly. Now, the key to all this is to judge oneself every single day so that we and they, in the same boat, are not judged by God. Because if we're in a state of repentance, the mercy of God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is applied to our sins, and therefore we're not under the judgment. The wages of sin is death. We're not under that because we are in a state of repentance. They're going to have to go through the very same process. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and the grave delivered them up, the dead who were in them. So everyone is now resurrected. And they were judged, each one according to their actions, or according to their works. It's a second life that lasts 100 years. Now at the end of it, there's going to be this now change that will take place. All of those that have judged themselves and have lived according to the words of God, judged out of the books, they've repented in a state of repentance, and they've grown spiritually through the tests and trials that they have during that period, they will then be changed and into Elohim. Then death and the grave were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, which is the Gehenna fire, which is this resurrection that's going to take place of all of those that have died during the last 7,000 years that have committed the unpardonable sin. And those that have refused God during this last 100 years, they now will be given the final judgment. That judgment is eternal death. It's an eternal punishment. They'll be destroyed forever, never to have life again. So how great is God's mercy? Anybody that loves God and demonstrates that love during the 100-year period will be given spirit life in Elohim. Those that refuse to obey God, who set their mind against God and don't want anything to do with God, God in his mercy will destroy them so that they never have life again. That's how merciful God is. So in the end, we will have unity. We will have peace. Verse 15, and anyone not found written in the book of life, those that haven't overcome, those that don't have God's Holy Spirit, were cast into the lake of fire to be destroyed. Matthew 12, verse 38. Trying to slow down a little bit. Difficult for me when I get excited about things. Matthew 12, verse 38. Matthew 12, 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, which is Jesus Christ speaking, an evil and adulterous, which is talking not only physically but spiritual adultery, adulterous generation, seek after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. During the 100-year period, mankind will come to understand this. They will now see the true Jesus Christ. They will now see that the Sunday worship, they will see that the Good Friday is not good at all, and that whole period of Jesus Christ dying on a Friday and resurrected on Sunday morning is just a load of lies, just a load of garbage. It is satanic in its thinking. It's deception. It's total deception. They'll see that all of the religions of the world are deceived and that there's only one true church. There's only one God. They'll come to see that Jesus Christ was in the grave for 72 hours. Now, they have to have God's Spirit to see these things, or they didn't have it. And they were playing political games and full of deception and trying to manipulate things. Well, all of the people in that period will come to see this scripture and they'll understand this part. Verse 41, the men of Nineveh will rise in the judgment, which is what we're celebrating today, which is the day of judgment, this last 100 years, with this generation and condemn it. They'll look down on it because they repented. The men of Nineveh, the people in Nineveh, did repent on a physical level, because they were told something and they then changed their mind. The men of Nineveh are going to rise up in the judgment during the last 100 years. Now they're going to be given the Spirit of God and they're going to be able to see spiritually. And they're still going to see that they are just as bad as everyone else. Even though they had a physical repentance, they're going to see their natural carnal mind, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. They're going to see it. Well, here, the men of Nineveh, they're going to be raised up in the judgment and they're going to look down at this and say, what are you saying? You men and women from all of these periods of this time of Jesus Christ and you didn't listen to the Son of God, what God did. But they'll soon come to see that they didn't really see spiritually at all, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed greater than Jonah is here. Verse 42, the queen of the south will rise up in the judgment, so she's going to be there too, with this generation, with all of the Jews that are here listening, and condemn it, because for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed greater than Solomon is here. They had Jesus Christ. They had the word of God in their midst. So everyone in the last 100 years, everyone must change, everybody must repent, and everyone must think differently. Everybody must have their minds healed. That's the purpose of the 100 years, to have a mind healed. So we see this great period of time where we're going to see the men and women of Babylon, Persian, Greek, Roman empires, all of the nations, all of the men during the wars, during the German wars, during the Greek wars, during the Australian wars, the American wars, all of these different things, all of the people that are in the world today, the vast majority of them, the 6 or 7 billion people, billions of them are going to die. Well, they are going to be resurrected and given this opportunity to live during this wonderful period of God's mercy. And they're going to have their minds healed. The vast majority will have their minds healed. There will be some, as incredible as it is, that will choose not to have their minds healed. Isaiah 65 verse 20. Referring to the great white throne judgment. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, which is referring to this period of judgment, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed, be set aside for a final destruction, the second death. Points to a period of 100 years, which is this eighth day, the last great day, the day of judgment. Verse 21, they shall build houses and inhabit them, because there's not going to be wars, there's not going to be fighting, and no one's going to be coming along and taking their home and raising their taxes so that they can't afford them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. The weather's going to be changed so that things can be grown, so that we're not going to have the severe heat and we're not going to have the severe cold, and the watering of the earth will be perfect because God's going to provide an environment where they can have prosperity. Verse 22, they shall not build and another inhabit. So they're not going to be now thinking about, oh, I'm trying to get things. They're going to build things and they're going to live in them. Families will prosper because of it, because it's this period of a transformation of a person's thinking. They will think about God first, and other things won't be as important. That's the vast majority. They'll think like God because they'll have God's Holy Spirit. They'll be in a spirit of cooperation, not of competition. And that one point alone is going to be a huge difference between what mankind does today, which is the spirit of competition, which is to get for self or to destroy others at any cost, to get for self, to build a bigger house, to build more money in the bank, to build up an economy, to have more shares in the stock market, all of those things. Well, the motivation changes. They will not build and another inhabit. It's going to be built for a reason. Their intent is going to change, and there's going to be prosperity given because of obedience to God. Well, once they get into the spirit of cooperation, things are totally different. Things are totally different. They shall not plant and another eat, because this is about sharing and cooperating and giving. God first, and then the physical things later. For as the days of the tree, so shall be the days of my people. Well, we know that there's age in trees. It's going to grow and it'll prosper and it'll bear fruit. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Not only the physical things, where life will be cut off at the age of 20 or 30. No, they're going to be able to live long, they're going to live this 100-year period, and they're going to be able to enjoy the work of their hands. They're going to enjoy the relationships they have with one another. They're going to enjoy living love, in sharing and giving and cooperating, because there's great benefits in the mind for those things now, if we do them powered by God's Holy Spirit. There's great rewards in doing that. The joy is in the giving. Now, that's something for the natural carnal mind struggles with. But with God's Holy Spirit, there's a joy in sacrificing self to the benefit of others. An enormous joy, a great benefit, because it's the joy of God. It's what God does. God sacrifices. Well, mankind during this last 100 years is going to learn to sacrifice themselves, and they will learn the joy of giving. And my elect, those that God has raised, those who have God's Holy Spirit, shall enjoy the work of their hands, everything they do on a physical level, but also the work of their hands on a spiritual level, everything they do on a spiritual level. Verse 23, they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble, which is indicating no children will be born during this last 100-year period, because there will be babies at the beginning of it, and they will grow up in a family environment, and they will live to 100 years of age. So there will be people that will have relationships in bringing up children and learning within a family environment, because it's a great learning area. Learning love within a family environment, this is what God desired for mankind, to have family and to grow up in relationships with one another. And a person learning to sacrifice, learning about authority, learning about love, all done with a family environment. Well, the 100 years will be the same, where mankind will learn to love. They will learn to sacrifice. For they shall be descendants of the blessed of the Lord, which is the seed of the eternal, and their offspring with them. It's going to be a family structure, and there's going to be generations of people, all from this resurrection. Verse 24, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. So all the spiritual answers will be provided for them. We understand that there's a guarantee of protection, like an insurance of this last 100 years, where there is no death during this period. Now they're going to want answers about certain things. Well, these answers are going to be provided. The answers about the purpose of the Sabbath. The answers about things that they are querying. They're saying, well, what about this and what about that? Well, the answer is going to come through God's church, as all answers do. They're going to be spiritual answers about things. And while they are still speaking, I will hear, which means they're going to have access to God, and God's going to provide the spiritual answers to them. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. Now, this is a great change, because currently the wolf or the fox and the dogs would kill the lambs and the sheep. Well, they're going to feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. So there's going to be this change within nature, so that the animals are no longer aggressive and not meat eaters. They're going to be eating grass like the cattle do now and like the ox do now. And dust shall be the serpent's food. They, the animals, shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, because it's the government of God, says the Eternal. So God has demonstrated now his great mercy. He has created an environment during the 1,000 years so that this great resurrection can happen. God will demonstrate his mercy by a resurrection, and they're going to be given his Holy Spirit, and they're going to be able to see spiritual things. They're going to see a new world, a different world, where the weather conditions are different, where land is allocated and people are able to grow things, going to build things, and it won't be taken from them. There won't be wars. They're not going to learn war anymore. Totally different environments going to be developed. There's going to be one government based on righteousness, based on the thinking of God. One church, one religion. Confusion will be gotten rid of. And this period is the greatest demonstration of God's mercy. How merciful is God to mankind? Everything belongs to God. During this period, mankind is going to come to see his true value. Mankind is going to come to see the purpose of life. This is an incredible thing that we have, brethren. We have the understanding of the purpose of life. We understand it. We know about it. We have access to God. We have access to God's Holy Spirit. How merciful is God to give it to us now? Well, during this period, this last 100 years, mankind is going to have this opportunity to see the purpose of life, why man was created, starting with Adam, why, and mankind's potential, and the future for mankind when he enters Elohim. We only see dimly little bits of the future, But we do know, based on God's plan of 7,100 years revealed through the holy days, that God has a plan for eternity. Well, he hasn't revealed all of that yet because we don't see it yet. But God in his time, in his mercy, will reveal it to us so that we can see the future. And it may be that we're in the family of God when that actually happens, because the most important thing now that we can focus on is God's work and the fact that God is going to have a family at the end of 7,100 years, and that we should strive to overcome ourselves. We should strive now to heal our minds by the power of God's Holy Spirit, because God wants to heal our minds now. He's going to do it during the 1,000 years, but he's going to really focus in on it on the last 100 years, where his mercy will be demonstrated and minds will be healed during that period. One of the things that people are going to come to see is about their natural carnal mind. Everyone was born with a mind that is naturally opposed to God. That is not referring to Jesus Christ. So everyone was born, other than Jesus Christ, with a mind that is naturally opposite to God's mind. Naturally, we resist God. We resist the truth. We resist being told what to do. We resist God. During the 100 years, mankind will be able to see the truth. Now, one of the great truths they're going to come to see is this very fact. Even though they're resurrected and they have a new body and they have a new environment, they have a great world around them, they're going to see Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart, which is the inner thinking, the mind and motive of mankind, is deceitful above all things because it justifies itself. It's not open and honest. It's deceptive because it's protecting itself based on its pride. Mankind just doesn't see that its mind is deceptive. It doesn't see that it's deceitful. It doesn't see that it's riddled with pride. And desperately, which is inwardly, desperately wicked. It's actually sick and it needs to be healed. Well, mankind has to come to see this, because otherwise he won't change. He won't want to change. So the heart is deceitful above all things. It justifies itself. It's riddled with pride and desperately wicked. It's incurably sick because now it sees it. It sees itself. It sees its intent. Now it will come to see that it needs to be healed. It has to admit this very scripture. It has to admit that it's deceitful, that it's got pride, and that it's sick, that it's actually inwardly sick. Its intent and motive is selfish. The question is, who can know it? Well, the only one who can know the mind of man is God. That's why with God's Holy Spirit poured out on mankind, who can know it? Well, mankind will come to see it based on the power of God's Holy Spirit. God knows it now, but mankind has to come to see it, and that's what will generate repentance. I, the Eternal, search the heart. Same thing's going to happen during this last period of judgment. I, the Eternal, search the heart, search the mind. I test the mind, which is the secret parts. God's going to look at the intent of a person, going to see whether they're still competitive or they're cooperative, whether they're justifying themselves or they're admitting who they are and acting humility, whether they're loving selfishly or loving with God's Holy Spirit, even to give every man according to his ways, what is produced by the choices that mankind makes. Everybody's going to be subject to this scripture, that God will give to everyone according to his choices, what he produces in his life, according to the fruit of his doings. It's based on his choices. By nature, we all resist God. We give in to our base human nature. We all have opinions about everything. We all have motives and actions driven by selfishness. Well, everyone's going to come to see that self is selfishness. Self is selfishness. It lives selfishness. We justify ourselves. We deceive ourselves even. Well, during this period, mankind's going to give them this opportunity to see themselves. We are now, and those in the 100 years will be told to choose a mind that is different than the way we think naturally. Well, that's what we're being told. That's what they're going to be told. During the last 100 years, mankind will face this very choice. The choice is, Which mind do I want? Do I want my mind of selfishness or the mind of God? Let's look at Philippians 2 verse 1. Philippians 2 verse 1. Philippians 2 verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, which is referring to this one spirit of unity that's needed, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. This one accord is the way we live our life towards others, the way we live our life, and one way of thinking, one mind. What will people have to learn? Billions of people are going to have to learn. Let nothing, this is nothing, which is about our intent and motive, let nothing be done through selfish ambition, which is about self, and conceit, which is based on pride, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself, which is about this service, this sacrificing love. It's the way we live towards others. It's whether or not we respect others. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, which is nothing wrong with having our own interests, our interest in life, which should be spiritual in nature. Well, we should do that. But also, so there's something else on top of it, not only looking out on our spiritual interests, but also on the interests of others, other people's physical interests and their spiritual interests, which is to benefit them on a spiritual level. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. People are going to have to come to see this, that the mind that they have needs to be healed, and they need to have the mind of Christ in them, which is the mind of God in them, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal or like God, equal with God, like God, willing to sacrifice. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant and coming in likeness of man, which is about God being in Jesus Christ. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the stake. Therefore God also has highly exalted him, Jesus Christ, given him the name which is above every name. This is what mankind's going to come to see. That at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth. Those that are dead, they'll be resurrected. Well, this is what it's referring to, those that are going to be resurrected. They're going to have to come to see the value of Jesus Christ in their life. And that every tongue should confess or acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Why? To the glory of God the Father. So they're going to confess it by the way they live, not just in words, but the way they live. They're going to come to see their true Saviour is Jesus Christ. Mark 12, verse 28. Verse 28. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he, Jesus Christ, had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Eternal, your God, the Lord is one. This is what's going to happen. Hear, O Israel, hear everybody that has been resurrected and has this opportunity to now hear spiritually. O Israel, all of mankind that has been resurrected for this 100-year period of judgment, the Eternal, our God, Yahweh Elohim, the Lord is one. He is one. There's only one. So they're going to come to understand there is only one true God. That is a truth that was revealed back to the church in 2005 of this first 6,000 years of mankind. It's something that has been lost. There is only one true God, Yahweh Elohim. Well, we understand it. They don't know anything about it. They're going to be resurrected and be given this knowledge. This truth that has been placed in the church is going to be made available to them. They're going to see it. The evidence is going to be enormous for them because they had a life and now they've been resurrected and they now have a new life. They have a mind in a new body, healed. Just incredible. How humble would a man be for a period of time? Anyway, because of that, well, they're going to listen to God, that there is only one true God. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your life, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. There's going to have to be this zeal and passion for the rest of their life, not just the first love. This is something that's going to have to last 100 years. They're going to have to place God first, and they're going to have to love him. They're going to live love to God, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Your motive and intent has to be God first, no matter what. With all your life, everything you do, the way you live your life towards mankind, the way you live your life towards God, how you demonstrate it by keeping the Sabbath, by obeying the Ten Commandments, by, not only that, by keeping the holy days, by keeping this last day. So during the 100 years, they're going to keep a feast for 7 days. And on the 8th day, they're going to stop and they're going to be taught the meaning and the purpose of this very day of judgment, the day of judgment, the day of God's mercy, and that they need to have their minds healed, just like we're here now. We need our minds healed because our minds are carnal, they're natural. With all your mind, it takes thinking, it takes effort, it takes prayer, and with all your strength, there's going to have to be effort put in it. There's going to have to be a passion and a zeal for God. This is the first commandment, which is love God first. And the second, like it, very similar. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, which means we're going to have to learn to sacrifice for the benefit of others. There is no other commandment greater than these, because these two wrap up the Ten Commandments. If we love God, we'll keep Passover. If we love God, we'll keep the days of unleavened bread because we understand the meaning of them. We'll keep Pentecost. We will keep all of the holy days. We'll keep this 8th day in spirit and truth because we know what it's about. We know it's God revealing his great mercy for mankind, the purpose of healing mankind's mind. What an amazing day this is. So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher," talking to Jesus Christ, "you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him," singular, one, "with all your heart," which is your motive and intent within your mind, "with all your understanding," based on the knowledge that we have about God at any given point in time, "with all your life," we have to dedicate our life, which is the way we live towards God, the way we live towards others, "and with all your strength," it's going to take effort, not on a physical level, but on a spiritual level as well. We're going to have to put in effort to it. "And to love your neighbor as yourself." So in other words, we have certain things that we desire for ourselves, or we should desire these things for others as well. It's the way we live towards others. "Is more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." What will people see during the 8th day, the day of judgment? What will they come to see? They will see it is a time of judgment. It's not about being judged on the first day and condemned to death. This is a period of 100 years. It is a day, 100-year period, of judgment, about judging self, to bring oneself under judgment so that we're not judged by God. We'll be judged by God's word because we're repenting, we're changing. They will see it as a time of repentance. They will see it as a time for their minds to be healed by the power of God's Holy Spirit, because a mind cannot be healed of and by itself. It's impossible. One's thinking can only be changed by a choice. If God pulls out his spirit, makes his spirit available to a person, the person must choose God's ways. It is a personal choice. They will come to see that it is a personal choice if they want to be healed or not. The choice is theirs. Romans 7, verse 14. Romans 7, verse 14. We know during this period that their greatest danger will be this complacency, that is the danger of all natural carnal minds. It's always dangerous because the natural carnal mind often just becomes complacent because it has what it thinks is of value and it doesn't desire to grow of and by itself. It just happy with the way it is because pride comes in and the natural mind takes over, and all of a sudden there's a focus on the physical and not a focus on the spiritual. The exact same thing will be a danger within 100 years. People still are going to have to battle themselves. They must fight themselves, because the biggest danger is themselves with the way they think. Romans 7 verse 14. They'll come to see this very scripture. For we know, or we see, that the law is spiritual. They've never been able to see the law before. They just thought it was all physical. You know, you shall not, you shall not, you shall not. They just thought it was all do's and don'ts. Well, it's not about that. It's about the way a person thinks. For we see that the law is spiritual, but I, the self, am carnal, sold under sin. We're sold to slavery because of the penalty of sin is death. We're slaves to our natural thinking. We're slaves to our own selfishness. For what I am doing, which is the natural mind, I do not understand. For what I will to do, which is what I desire to do, that I do not practice. We don't do it normally. We want to do these things, but we don't practice it normally because of our nature. But what I hate, which is the sin that is in us, that I do, because of this battle that goes on, because of the temptation of self. Now, even without Satan, the mind can wander and we can get into selfishness. We can get into all types of evil, often by ourselves, without Satan, without the temptation. It's natural for the mind to wander. Well, we have to now battle against the self. This is what they're going to have to do. The sin that is in them, what I hate, that I do. Yes, sin will exist during the 100 years. Sin will exist until there's no mankind. And then, when mankind is completely changed or destroyed, and when Satan is destroyed, and the angels are brought under judgment, and they are destroyed, there will be no more sin. There will just be righteousness. There will just be the mind of God, because all of the natural minds of mankind will have been healed, or if not healed, they will have been destroyed. Well, everyone here is going to have to come to this same place. What I hate, the sin in me, the selfishness in me, the non-sacrificing, the pride, the justification, that I do, because it's still going to exist during the 100 years. They're going to do these things. It won't be as overt as it is now, because evil will have been cast aside and the temptation won't be there because Satan's been removed. But naturally, there's still going to be battles. Verse 16. If then I do what I do not do, I agree with the law that it is good. So we can see what we are, and we can see that we're evil often by ourselves and we hate it. We don't want to do it. Well, when we fight against it and we repent, what we're saying is, I agree with God. I agree that the law is good. I agree with what God says about me. Now, we have baptism and the laying of hands. We have God's Holy Spirit so that we can see. Well, mankind's going to be given this opportunity. Verse 17. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know, or I see, that in me, it's in the mind, it's part of who we are, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells, because it's natural, it's selfish. For to will is present with me, this wanting to fight, but how to perform it, what is good, I do not find, because it's not within the natural carnal mind. It needs God's Holy Spirit. Often by ourselves, we will not fight our selfishness because we can't see it. We might see little glimpses of something, but we'll justify it and we're just doing okay because we're natural. For the good that I will to do, which is spiritual, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, he desires not to do it, that I practice, because it's natural. Not sacrificing self, hurtful words, selfish practices. That's what we do naturally. Verse 20, now if I do what I will not to do, because he doesn't want to be like that, it is no longer I that do it. It's just naturally happening. But sin that dwells in me, because it's all from the natural mind. I find a law, the natural mind, that evil is present with me, selfishness, and one who wills to do good, which is, he doesn't want to be like this. He's wanting to fight. For I delight in the law of God, according to the inward man, because he now sees in the mind how he wants to have right relationships with God. He wants to have right relationships with mankind. Well, this is what people are going to come to see. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, which is God's law, which is God's way of life, God's thinking, power by God's Holy Spirit, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So there's a battle going on here. It's either the natural mind or God's mind. We have the capacity for sin, just naturally. While we have to be warring against, we have to be in this conflict of our minds. We have to battle. Well, 100 years is exactly the same. And people are going to come to see something. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? Which is the question. Well, we know the answer. They're going to be delivered from the body of death if they choose to repent, if they choose to follow God and implement change into their life, to have their minds healed. Verse 25, I thank God, Yahweh Elohim, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I serve the law of God, because he's now being converted. It's by a choice, by the power of God's Holy Spirit. But the flesh, the natural mind, the law of sin. The two laws. There is a law that is natural within us, which is we have a natural carnal mind of selfishness. Well, there is another mind that we have to put on. Put on the mind of Christ, the mind of God, which is about this healing of the mind, this change of mind that must take place. Once people are resurrected, their minds will now have the opportunity to see, because when God pours out his Holy Spirit, they then can see. We're going to look at Romans 8, verse 11. Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him, God the Father, who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he, God the Father, who raised Christ from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit which dwells in you. Now, if we refer this to the 100 years, but if the Spirit of him, God the Father, who raised Christ, because they're going to understand that, they're going to see it, they're going to know about the Passover sacrifice, from the dead dwells in you, so we're having God's Spirit at the end of the 100 years, he, God the Father, who raised Christ from the dead, will also give life, spirit life, to your mortal bodies, incredible promise, by his Spirit which dwells in you. This is an incredible scripture for mankind for the future. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, we don't owe it anything, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. The exact same scripture is going to apply to those in the 100 years. If you live according to the flesh, if you're not going to fight against your own natural carnal mind, your own selfishness, you will die. It's just a promise. It just has to happen that way because we don't agree with God. We're not choosing God. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, put to death the selfishness, fight against yourself, you will live. They will be given spirit life at the end of the 100 years. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So all of those people during the 100 years, the day of judgment, the billions of people that have been resurrected and given eyes to see, they have the potential to be sons of God because they have God's Holy Spirit living and dwelling in them. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, going back to the old prejudices again that they had and how they lived their past life in carnality, again to fear, not living without hope, because now there's hope. They had no hope before. Now they have hope, hope of a change. But you receive the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The billions of people are going to have God's Spirit, are going to be called children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together, they may be changed to spirit. What an incredible day this is. This last day, this great white throne judgment, the day of judgment. How incredible is it that they're going to be able to see these scriptures and they're going to become heirs, joint heirs with Christ. And if they live a life of suffering, of denying themselves, fighting their own pride. If indeed we suffer, if they fight against themselves, that's suffering, fighting against self is suffering, that we may be glorified together. They can be glorified. They can be changed to spirit. They can be healed. But the choice is theirs. Colossians 3, verse 1. Colossians 3, verse 1. Verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, which they are going to be raised with Christ in the sense they're going to be placed in the church by baptism. They're going to get rid of the old man, going to come to see the old man, be baptized, receive God's Holy Spirit. And they're going to be raised with Christ in the sense they're going to have the opportunity to see spiritually. What do they have to do during this 100-year period, the whole 100-year period, not just part of it? Seek those things which are above. Now, how do they do that? Well, firstly, it's through obedience on the seventh-day Sabbath and keeping the annual holy days, which is reflecting and refers to and points to the very plan of God, his great love, demonstrated to us through the holy days, which shows his plan of salvation for mankind, which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Jesus Christ has the authority of God. He's going to be on the earth with 144,000 and others during this particular period. Well, now they're going to see all of this. They're going to see God's government in action. What do they have to do? Set your mind on things above, which is referring to spiritual things. Don't worry about all the physical. You do the physical, but with a spiritual motive and intent. Not on the things of the earth, not all on the physical things. We've got to fight ourselves. We have to fight our nature. We have to focus on fighting against our selfishness. For you died at baptism, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Well, we can look at this during the period. For you died. Well, did. You died. Now, you've been raised up and given life again. Well, now, you've got to say the past is the past. I want to be baptized. All my sins are forgiven and forgotten. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4, referring to a period that we're now in and looking forward to the return of Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. You know, this verse 5 now is something that's going to have to happen forever for mankind. While mankind exists, this is what God desires, which is this healing of the mind that must take place now, must take place during the 100 years. But the main focus of God during the last 100 years is this very scripture. Therefore, put to death, which is destroy, get rid of, which is about this healing that's got to take place. Therefore, put to death your members, which are in our nature, which is in our natural mind of selfishness, which are on the earth. And it's not talking about killing other people and getting rid of members of the body of Christ. It's about things within our nature. Your members, which are on the earth, fornication, not just physical, but spiritual, because people can still have fornication, which is a false relationship with something else other than God, which is what fornication is about, an illegal relationship. Uncleanness, passion, evil desires, because they're going to have them, covetousness, because they're going to have that, which is idolatry, which is anything they put before God. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. How true is that? Because at the end of the 100 years, we see a day of final judgment, which is the penalty for sin is going to be paid, which is called the second death, which is death forever. In which you were all once walked, talking about the world where they were before, when you lived in them, because that was their whole life. Well, now they've been resurrected and given this opportunity to have another life, but to do it with the power of God's Holy Spirit this time, because they once walked in a particular way of life, which is all about selfishness. But now you must also put off all these things. You've got to put all these things off. All these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old person with its deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge, talking about spiritual knowledge, according to the image of him who created him, which is talking about the mind of God. Brethren, we see this 100-year period as a time of overcoming self. Mankind will be resurrected. Billions and billions of people will be resurrected. They will be given a new opportunity of life. And this opportunity of life, just not a physical one, points to a spiritual one for the first time. For the majority, not all. Because there are some that have died during the last 2,000 years that were part of God's church and started a relationship with God, but were not part of the 144,000. They have lived and died. They have now the opportunity to continue the journey of conversion, to continue the journey of healing their minds during that period. Now that choice will be theirs, just like all mankind. In conclusion, brethren, we'll look at 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell, become complete, which is about becoming spiritually mature, perfect, which is God in us, because the only way to be complete and to become perfect is God in us. Be of good comfort, be of one mind. Now, that's the beauty of the 100 years. Our minds are going to be healed so that they come into unity with God. They have the thinking of God, a spirit of cooperation, a spirit of love. Be of one mind, live in peace. Well, this is a time where mankind can live in peace. There will be no more war. They won't have learnt war during the 1,000 years. Well, during the 100, this will continue. It will be a time of peace. Animals will have been changed. Weather will have been changed. The whole environment will be different. It'll be an environment where God will be first, where God will be teaching personally, through Jesus Christ and others, his way of life. He'll be teaching about this one mind, the mind of God, what God really is like, which is God is love. They'll be able to live peace. They'll be able to think like God. There will be no ill will to others. Well, that's what we'll be taught. And there's going to be ill will to others because the natural carnal mind will still exist. Well, they're going to be encouraged to live in peace, and the God of love and peace be with you all. Well, that is the outcome, to have mankind have his mind healed. The day of judgment reveals God's great mercy. This is a time when mankind's minds can be healed. Most of them will have had some experience of Satan's world and will see what it was like. The comparison will be incredible, where you see man's selfishness under Satan versus under God's government, 100 years of peace and safety. Mankind will be given 100 years to choose to set their minds for God or to choose to set their minds against God. At the end of this 100-year period, we will see a resurrection to spirit life of billions of people that have chosen God. And we will also see there are many that will face a second death, but the choice will be theirs. So the 100 years is about the healing of the mind, to have a person's mind healed. And it is a demonstration of God's great love and God's great mercy to his creation.